Helena Petrovna von Hahn, more popularly known as Madame Blavatsky or HPB, came from a noble family in the Ukraine. Her father, Peter von Hahn, was a descendant of German nobility, while her mother, Helena Andreyevna Hahn, came from one of the oldest families of Russian nobility and was also a celebrated novelist. As a child, she would often have visions and displayed clairvoyance, as well as other metaphysical phenomena. Years later, she travelled throughout Europe and the Middle East, studying under various teachers and Sufi saints. She met her teacher, an Indian yogi named Master Maurya, in London, who later directed her to go to New York in the United States. Once there, she founded the Theosophical Society. In 1885, she started to write The Secret Doctrine, which was finally published 3 years later in 1888. The Secret Doctrine has been acknowledged by many as one of the most remarkable books in the world. It is considered to be the Bible of Theosophy, a source book of the esoteric tradition that outlines the fundamental tenets of the secret doctrine of the past ages. Published as two volumes during her lifetime, The Cosmogenesis and Anthropogenesis, The Secret Doctrine explains the origin and evolution of the universe and of humanity through an account of root races dating back millions of years. Although the writer of The Secret Doctrine, Madame Blavatsky, often expressed that she was only the compiler of ancient wisdom that was passed on to her, the true authors of the work were her teachers, the Mahatmas or Great Souls, who were the guardians of the secret wisdom of the ages. Today on Between Master and Disciples, we invite you to listen to excerpts from The Secret Doctrine. The first excerpt, Cosmic Evolution, explains the origin of the universe taken from the stanzas of the sacred Tibetan's book of Dzogchen. The second excerpt, on Quan Chi Yin and Kuan Yin, details the origin and symbolism of Quan Chi Yin and Kuan Yin, or Avalokiteshvara.
Stanza 5. The primordial seven, the first seven breaths of the Dragon of Wisdom, produce in their turn from their holy circumgyrating breaths the fiery whirlwind. They make of him the messenger of their will. The Dizhu, or collective wisdom of the Dhyani Buddhas, becomes Fohart, or the builder of the builders, the swift son of the divine sons, whose sons are the Lipika, or scribes, runs circular errands. Fohart, or the builder of the builders, is the steed, and the thought is the rider. He passes like lightning through the fiery clouds or cosmic mists, takes three and five and seven strides through the seven regions above and the seven below. He lifts his voice and calls innumerable sparks or atoms and joins them.
He is their guiding spirit and leader. When he commences work, he separates the sparks of the lower kingdom, or mineral atoms, that float and thrill with joy in their radiant dwellings, and forms therewith the germs of wheels. He places them in the six directions of space, and one in the middle, the central wheel.
Fohart, or the builder of the builders, traces spiral lines, or evolution of man and nature's principles, to unite the sixth to the seventh, the crown. An army of the sons of light stands at each angle, and the Lipika, or scribes, in the middle wheel. They say, this is good, the first divine world is ready, the first is now the second. Then the divine Arupa, or the formless universe, reflects itself in Chaya Loka, or the shadowy world of primal form, or the intellectual, the first garment of the Anapadaka, or the Dhyani Buddhas, the one merged with the Absolute.
Fohart, or the builder of builders, takes five strides, or the five upper planes of consciousness and being, and builds a winged wheel at each corner of the square for the four holy ones and their armies.
The Lipika, or scribes, circumscribe the triangle, the first one, the cube, the second one, and the pentacle within the egg. It is the ring called Pass Not, for those who descend and ascend. Also for those who during the Kalpa or Aeon are progressing towards the great day, be with us. Thus were formed the Rupa or bodies, and the Arupa or formless, from one light, seven lights. From each of the seven, seven times seven lights, the wheels watch the ring.
Stanza 6. By the power of the Mother of Mercy and Knowledge, Kuan Yin, the triple of Kuan Shai Yin, or the Mother, the Wife, the Daughter, residing in Kuan Yin Tian, or Melodious Heaven of Sound. Fo Hat, or the Builder of the Builders, the breath of their progeny, the Son of the Sons, having called forth, from the lower abyss, the elusive form of Xian Tang and the seven elements.
The Swift and Radiant One produces the seven Lyre Centers, or the 7 0 points, against which none will prevail to the great day, be with us, and seats the universe on these eternal foundations, surrounding Tiantang, or the universe, with the elementary germs.
Of the seven, first one manifested, six concealed, two manifested, five concealed, three manifested, four concealed, four produced, three hidden, four and one san, or fraction revealed, two and one half concealed, six to be manifested, one laid aside, lastly, seven small wheels revolving, one giving birth to the other.
He builds them in the likeness of older wheels, placing them on the imperishable centers. How does Fo Hat, or the Builder of the Builders, build them? He collects the fiery dust, he makes balls of fire, runs through them and round them, infusing life therein too, then sets them into motion, some one way, some the other way. They are cold, he makes them hot. They are dry, he makes them moist. They shine, he fans and cools them. Thus acts Fo Hat, or the Builder of the Builders, from one twilight to the other, during seven eternities.
At the fourth, the sons are told to create their images. One third refuses, two obey. The curse is pronounced, they will be born on the fourth, suffer and cause suffering. This is the first war. The older wheels rotated downwards and upwards. The mother's spawn filled the hole. There were battles fought between the creators and the destroyers, and battles fought for space, the seed appearing and reappearing continuously.
Make thy calculations, Lanu, or student, if thou wouldest learn the correct age of thy small wheel, its fourth spoke is thy mother. Reach the fourth fruit of the fourth path of knowledge that leads to nirvana, a supreme state free from suffering, and thou shalt comprehend, for thou shalt see.
Stanza 7. Behold the beginning of sentient formless life. First the divine, the one from the mother spirit, then the spiritual, the three from the one, the four from the one, and the five from which the three, the five and the seven. These are the threefold, the fourfold downward, the mind-born sons of the first lord, or Avalokiteshvara, the Shining Seven, or the Builders. It is they who are thou, me, him, O Lanu, or student. They who watch over thee and thy mother earth.
The one ray multiplies the smaller rays. Life precedes form, and life survives the last atom of form. Through the countless rays proceeds the life ray, the one like a thread through many jewels. When the one becomes two, the threefold appears, and the three are one, and it is our thread, O Lanu, or student, the heart of the man plant, called Saptasama, or the seven principles.
It is the root that never dies, the three-tongued flame of the four wicks. The wicks are the sparks that draw from the three-tongued flame shot out by the seven. Their flame, the beams and sparks of one moon reflected in the running waves of all the rivers of earth.
The spark hangs from the flame by the finest thread of Fohat, or the build of the builders. It journeys through the seven worlds of Maya, or the seven globes of the planetary chain and the seven rounds. It stops in the first kingdom and is a metal and a stone. It passes into the second kingdom and behold, a plant. The plant whirls through seven changes and becomes a sacred animal. From the combined attributes of these, Manu or man, the thinker is formed. Who forms him? The seven lives and the one life. Who completes him? The fivefold La. And who perfects the last body? Fish, Sin, and Soma or moon.
From the firstborn, the thread between the silent watcher and his shadow or man becomes more strong and radiant with every change or reincarnation. The morning sunlight has changed into noonday glory.
This is thy present wheel, set the flame to the spark. Thou art myself, my image and my shadow. I have clothed myself in thee, and thou art my vahan or vehicle to the day be with us, when thou shalt re-become myself and others, thyself and me, or everything will be merged in the divine unity. Then the builders, having donned their first clothing, descend on radiant earth and reign over men, who are themselves.
On Quan Chi Yin and Quan Yin. Like Avalokiteshvara, Quan Chi Yin has passed through several transformations, but it is an error to say of him that he is a modern invention of the northern Buddhists, for under another appellation he has been known from the earliest times.
The secret doctrine teaches that he who is the first to appear at renovation will be the last to come before reabsorption or pralaya. Thus the Logi of all nations, from the Vedic Visvakarma of the mysteries down to the saviour of the present civilized nations, are the Word who was in the beginning, or the reawakening of the energizing powers of nature with the One Absolute.
Born of fire and water, before these became distinct elements, it was the Maker, or fashioner or modeler of all things. Without him was not anything made that was made, in whom was life, and the life was the light of men, and who finally may be called, as he ever has been, the Alpha and the Omega of manifested nature.
The great dragon of wisdom is born of fire and water, and into fire and water will all be reabsorbed with him, Fahua King. As this bodhisattva or an enlightened being is said to assume any form he pleases from the beginning of a manvantara or a period of manifestation, 306,720,000 human years, to its end, though his special birthday or memorial day is celebrated according to the Qin Huan Ming King or Luminous Sutra of Golden Light in the second month on the 19th day, and that of Maitreya Buddha in the first month on the first day, yet the two are one.
He will appear as Maitreya Buddha, the last of the avatars and Buddhas, in the seventh race. This belief and expectation are universal throughout the East. Only it is not in the Kali Yuga, our present terrifically materialistic age of darkness, the Black Age, that a new savior of humanity can ever appear.
Hence the ritual in the exoteric worship of this deity was founded on magic. The mantras are all taken from special books kept secret by the priests, and each is said to work a magical effect, as the reciter or reader produces by simply chanting them, a secret causation which results in immediate effects.
Quan Chi Yin is Avalokiteshvara, and both are forms of the seventh universal principle. While in its highest metaphysical character, this deity is the synthetic aggregation of all the planetary spirits, Dhyani Chohans or Dhyani Buddhas, the one merged with the Absolute. He is the self-manifested, in short, the Son of the Father. Crowned with seven dragons above his statue, there appears the inscription, Pu Tzu Kyun Ling, the universal savior of all living beings.
Of course, the name given in the archaic volume of the stanzas is quite different, but Kuan Yin is a perfect equivalent. In the temple of Puto, the sacred island of the Buddhists in China, Quan Shi Yin is represented floating on a black aquatic bird, or Kalahansa, and pouring on the heads of mortals the elixir of life, which as it flows is transformed into one of the chief Dhyani Buddhas, the regent of a star called the Star of Salvation.
In his third transformation, Kuan Yin is the informing spirit or genius of water.
To close, Kuan Shi Yin and Kuan Yin are the two aspects, or male and female, of the same principle in cosmos, nature and man, of divine wisdom and intelligence. They are the Christos Sophia of the mystic Gnostics, the Logos and its Sakti, or universal energy.
In their longing for the expression of some mysteries, never to be wholly comprehended by the profane, the ancients, knowing that nothing could be preserved in human memory without some outward symbol, have chosen the images of the Kuan Yins to remind man of his origin and inner nature. We thank you for your kind presence for today's Between Master and Disciples. Please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television for Planet Earth, Our Loving Home, coming up next, right after Noteworthy News. May all your noble dreams come true.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/BMD.